If you have your Bibles, you turn in them to Job and chapter 22. Job chapter 22, and again, Job is that book right before the book of Psalms, which is in the middle of your Bibles. Job chapter 22, we'll be reading verses 1 through 30, the whole chapter. Job 22, verse 1. These are God's words. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he prove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Are darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him, and that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us. And what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and a light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, There is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands." Those are God's words. Well, Eliphaz now comes responding to Job again, now for the third time. Remember, Job in the last chapter contemplated the wicked, but also the different circumstances that come upon all men. But Eliphaz's response is another rebuke upon Job, where he's thinking to Job, how dare you deal with God in the way you have done and are doing? And then charges Job with many sins for which he asserts that the Lord was now punishing him. First, the sin of oppression and injustice through verse 11. And then the sins of atheism and unfaithfulness through verse 14. And then Eliphaz uses the example that of the time of the great flood. And he's saying, your condition, Job, is bad now, but if you continue on your path in these sins, then your destruction will be great like that at the time of the flood, in the time of Noah. And then the remaining verses, Job, if you would just listen and heed this call to turn from your sins to God, the Lord would show you mercy and would return you to your former prosperity. And this is where he becomes, as we heard last Lord's Day, this is where he becomes a prosperity preacher, health and wealth gospel preacher. All right, he's saying, if you would just turn back to God, he will give you silver and gold. And that's not the prosperity that the Lord promises, is it? Now, of course, for all of us, that is the call that is to turn from our sins to God, and God will show mercy. That, of course, is true for all of us here. But this is, again, an example of Job's friends, Eliphaz here, misapplying truth. And we know that Job is not wicked. God has said so. Should Job examine himself? Absolutely. He should have been doing that this whole time. But beloved, again, we learn here of the importance of knowing the Scriptures, because it is almost as if Eliphaz knows just enough of the Scriptures to be very dangerous. And here, so dangerous that he and the other friends of Job are really attacking Job instead of grieving with those who are grieving and encouraging Job in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so as we often are put in the place of Job's friends, we ought to consider this, beloved, that we not misapply God's Word, and that we would keep seeking and meditating upon the Scriptures day and night, that we would know them all the more and how to apply them to our lives righteously. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise. We're thankful for your Word. And even as we hear again of the friends of Job keep coming and rebuking him and in some ways attacking him, Father, we ask that you would teach us your ways. Because as we continue hearing these attacks, if we could put it that way, Father, if we actually put ourselves in the place of Job, having lost much of all of his property, which was very great, and then losing all of our children, sons and daughters, on the same day, and then having a wife that calls us to curse you, Father, we ought to be those who are would be grieving and sorrowful. And yet, Father, often in our lives, as we've considered sin today, while it might be easier to grieve and be sorrowful over those who are hurting and who have come under affliction and suffering, and yet as we consider our hearts, when we sin against you, we are often very numb to what we have done. And attacking, even as we heard a few Lord's days ago, attacking the very image of God, attacking you. We've not only succumbed to the flesh, but we have attacked the flesh and our souls and sinning against you. We have rebelled against you like those in the wilderness rebelled against you. And Father, we often are just complacent. The sin that we commit is that we don't think it's that big of a deal. We think of it as a very light thing. All we have to do then is confess our sins before God and we're fine. But Father, we're not fine as we continue sinning against you. We need by your Holy Spirit, your grace to put to death sin, to mortify that sin. But Father, we need your grace to hate sin with such a passion as you hate sin, with such zeal like you have against sin. So much zeal that you sent your very own Son to this earth to die for all of our sins who believe on you. Every single thought, word, and deed that we have ever and will ever commit, and of all the saints, past and present and future, Christ, you sent your Son, Christ Jesus, to die for. That's how zealous you are about against sin and for your holiness and righteousness and for your name to be made known to the ends of the earth. And so, Father, grant us by your grace a greater grief and sorrow and hatred of our sin. And Father, we do ask that you would help us today. We are weak and frail. Do pray that you would be with those who are struggling in their sin today, who have broken your commandments, who have not loved you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who have not loved their neighbor as themselves and ourselves. Father, forgive us. We have broken your commandments. Even when we don't know that we've broken them, we have broken them. Every moment of every day we are breaking your commandments. And that just teaches us all the more how perfectly righteous our Savior is. And how awesome He is. And so we're thankful for the righteousness of Christ. We come confessing, but we don't merely want to come confessing, but to truly repent. We saw last Lord's Day in Judges those who came confessing, and yet behind their back they continued to hold their idols and not put to death sin. And you rejected them. And Father, we pray that we would put to death the sins and put away the idols from us and come unto you and plead and cry for your forgiveness. That you would cleanse us of all of our remaining sin. And so truly, Father, we need your help by your Spirit and by your grace and word. So, Father, those souls who are struggling, especially today, we pray that you would uplift them. Those who are downcast, that you would encourage them. Those who are lonely, that you would show them that fellowship you have, they have, or they can have with you in Christ by the Spirit. And even the fellowship of the believers here in the body of Christ. And Father, we also pray for our bodies. Some who are weak and sick today, we pray for Elias, that you would heal him and strengthen his body today. We ask that you would be with the Drakes, that as they came in contact with some who had COVID, that they would not get COVID or become sick, but strengthen their bodies. And Father, we ask for your blessing on the Maley family as they travel. You give them safety and an enjoyable time on their vacation. But we're thankful they are here with us today. Pray that you would bless them. Pray for Lee, that you would grant her many people here who would be friends with her and encourage her in Christ, just we pray as she would encourage us in Christ. And any others here who, Father, are visiting, we ask that you would bless them. Father, as we have our fellowship meal today, we even ask for your blessing upon our conversation, that our conversation wouldn't be so much about the things of the world. They would be focused upon you, upon the gospel, upon the sermon that we've heard, your word, and the things of God. Now we would truly rest in our souls this day in you. and not on ourselves or the world. Father, we pray for this congregation. And you would bless us, not because we deserve it. We do not deserve it at all. We deserve to be destroyed completely, each one of us individually and us corporately, for all of our sins we've committed. And Father, we ask that you would bless us for Christ's sake, that the gospel would go forward, that nations would hear and believe unto salvation, that they would covenant with Christ your Son, who is the King who reigns on the throne, and that rulers would bow to him, even our rulers in this nation. They would bow to him and rule according to his law. And so, Father, pray for this congregation that you would sanctify us. If there are any here who don't know you, even of our children, even if there are any in the womb, may this be the day of salvation for them. And you would send your Spirit and change their hearts, that they would love Jesus Christ and hate their sin and see their need for a Savior in Christ alone. Father, we pray that you would provide for this congregation and that you would provide not only financially, but more importantly, your word. We pray that you would provide elders, a new generation of elders and deacons. You provide souls to hear the gospel and souls with built up in zeal and strength by your grace to proclaim the gospel, the good news for which we are not ashamed. And we ask that all your elect would come in, from the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And Father, this is our plea. We ask that you would hear these prayers in according to your will, answer them. And as Jesus perfects them, hear his prayers perfectly offered unto you and answer him, yes and amen. We pray in his name. Amen.